Hello and welcome to Gin and Spooks. I'm Emma.
I'm Laura.
And what are we drinking today, Laura?
We're drinking Zombies.
Woo!
Yeah, which has got all sorts of different types of rum in. So, gold rum, dark rum and white rum.
Yes.
All the rum. Then it also has pineapple juice, orange juice and grenadine.
Yes, and it tastes so good.
Yes, and we are not on our first drink right now.
No, I'm on, what is it, the third one, and I'm feeling it.
It's number three.
Woo!
What was that? I liked it.
And what are we talking about today?
We're talking about zombies.
Yay! Because it's Halloween.
Yes! Happy Halloween, motherfuckers!
Thriller night. Tomorrow, Halloween.
Which is exactly 1 year since we released our very first episode.
Oh my god.
I can't
believe it's been 1 year, actually.
I know.
I'm struggling with it. I'm like, I'm feeling emotional. Because I'm like, it's been 1 year, we've done one whole year.
And we're still friends. And we have matching tattoos now too because of the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Along
with a new logo.
Yes.
Because that's exciting stuff and we thought we'd just revamp everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's begin.
I feel like I want to do a disclaimer that this episode is not as well pre-planned and organised as previous ones.
Because we need to start doing them things where it's like, you know how people say disclaimers, but it's like just complete jokes.
Yeah.
Like, no animals were harmed in the making of this or some shit.
Yeah. No zombies were offended in the making of this episode.
Yeah, I'm just going to wing it.
We both just...
what I've got written down.
Yeah. I think we both just like zombies and we wanted to drink the cocktails, so we thought it was a good excuse.
I'm slightly tipsy right now.
Slightly? I'm gonna just go
just
because
go.
I think our both of our research kind of just complements each other. So, a zombie is a mythological undead corporeal revenant created through the reanimation of a corpse. They are most commonly found in horror and fantasy genre works. The term comes from Haitian folklore, in which a zombie is a dead body reanimated through various methods, most commonly magic, such as voodoo. So Emma has already talked about these kinds of zombies in our necromancy episode.
I don't remember this.
She doesn't remember
apparently.
This. But so like, they're featured widely in Haitian rural folklore as dead persons revived by the art of necromancy of a bokor, which is a sorcerer or a witch.
Yeah.
A zombie remains under their control as its personal slave and it has no free will of its own. So it's just kind of like an undead army for the sorcerer slash witch is essentially what it was.
I mean, our version of zombies are completely different to that now.
Yeah, it's kind of escalated from that into something completely different.
How boring would it be? Oh, I've just got an undead army, but they can't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, they can do some things, but they don't eat people.
No.
Like.
But then, so I didn't look into those too much because you've already talked about them in the necromancy episode.
Okay.
But I have got one of the hypotheses on where this came from. So there's a guy called Wade Davis who's a Harvard ethnobotanist, and he presented a pharmacological case for zombies in a 1983 article in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology. So he actually travelled to Haiti in 1982, and after investigating, he claimed that a person can be turned into a zombie by two special powders being introduced into their bloodstream, like usually in a wound. So the first includes tetrodotoxin, which is a powerful and frequently fatal neurotoxin found in the flesh of the pufferfish. And the second powder consists of deliriant drugs. So that's a class of hallucinogenics. The pufferfish toxin and the hallucinogenics, together they induce a death-like state in which the victim will be entirely subjected to the will of the bokor. So he described the process as an initial state of death-like suspended animation, followed by a reawakening, typically after being buried into a psychotic state. So essentially, if you gave the person this poison in their bloodstream, then it'd be like they were dead, so they'd be buried, and then... because they were not actually dead when they reawoke, they were just kind of
yeah,
like zombies. But he said This psychosis was hypothesized by Davis to reinforce culturally learned beliefs and cause the victim to reconstruct their identity as that of a zombie because they knew they were dead. So they knew they'd died. And they thought the only possible explanation is like, oh, I'm a zombie now. But obviously.
I don't know why I find that funny, but like, can you imagine just like dying and then all of a sudden you're awake again, you're like, oh shit, no, I'm a zombie.
Oh, the only way I can reintegrate myself into society is to be a zombie at the will and call of a witch or sorcerer within my community.
I'd be so pissed off that someone's woken me up from my nice deep slumber.
Oh yeah, same. Like, big please.
Like, do you mind? Good sir.
I was finally getting some sleep. It would be your cats that wake you up as well, wouldn't it?
That, like, why am I not being fed?
That meme of them around a Ouija board.
That's my cats.
Yeah.
My cats.
Absolutely.
They'll be your cats when they're older.
Yeah. So people have, like, in the scientific community have said, well, this hypothesis is basically bollocks because the symptoms of tetrodotoxin poisoning range from numbness and nausea to complete paralysis and death. They do not include death like trance, whereas someone would be like a zombie. So the concept that witch doctors can keep zombies in a state of pharmacologically induced trance is highly unlikely because each time you poison them, you're just poisoning them and they'd probably die rather than just be like...
I mean, if you got poisons, like, you have to think like what it's damaging.
Yeah.
Which is probably nerve endings.
Yeah.
A zombie, according to pop culture and folklore, is usually either reawakened corpse with a ravenous appetite or someone bitten by another zombie infected with a zombie virus. Zombies are usually portrayed as strong but robotic beings with rotting flesh. Their only mission is to feed. They typically don't have conversations, although some may grunt a little. So zombies and voodoo. Voodoo is a religion based in West Africa and practiced throughout the Haiti and the Caribbean, Brazil, the American South, and other places with an African heritage. Many people who follow the voodoo religion today believe zombies are myths, but some believe zombies are revived by a voodoo practitioner known as a boko.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not.
I mean, I'm surprised that I can even speak normal English sometimes, so we'll just go with that.
Yeah.
Bokos have a tradition of using herbs, shells, fish, animal parts, bones and other objects to create concoctions including zombie powders which contain tetrodotoxin.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that. Thank you for saying that. Because I'm like, I'm having enough. A deadly neurotoxin found in pufferfish and other marine species.
Yes.
It used carefully at sublethal doses, the tetrodotoxin combination may cause zombie-like symptoms such as difficulty walking, mental confusion, and respiratory problems. High doses of tetrodotoxin can lead to paralysis and coma. This could cause someone to appear dead and be buried alive, then later revived. Which leads on to my next part. Real zombies reported in medical journals. Though it's rare, there are several credible reports in medical journals of people using these compounds to induce paralysis in people and then revive them from the grave. In a 1997 article in the British medical journal The Lancet described three verifiable accounts of zombies. In one case, a Haitian woman who appeared to be dead was buried in a family tomb only to reappear 3 years later. An investigation revealed that her tomb was full of stones and her parents agreed to admit her to the local hospital. In another well-documented case, a Haitian man named Clavius Narcissus,
yeah,
however you want to say it, entered a local hospital with severe respiratory problems in 1962. After he slipped into a coma, Narcissus was declared dead and was buried shortly after. But 18 years later, a man walked up to Angelina Narcissus in a village market, insisting she was his sister. Doctors, townspeople and family members all identified him as Clavius, who claimed he had been buried alive and then dug out and put to work on a distant sugar plantation.
Oh, Christ.
I kind of giggled at that bit because I was like, that's something my work would do. Wake me up like, come on, Emma, you got shit to do.
Yeah, you've died. Oh, no, these accounts need billing.
We're not bringing in enough money. And that's all I've got on that part. The zombies and pop culture, according to The Undead 18th Century by Linda Tross. However, zombies appeared in literature as far back as 1697 and were described as spirits or ghosts, not cannibalistic fiends. They arrived on the film scene around the same time as the monster peers, Frankenstein and Dracula.
Yes, I was going to say Frankenstein is kind of almost a zombie.
Yes. I mean, he is pretty much the first zombie, I think,
yeah,
that I know about.
Yeah. He's never actually described as a zombie.
No, but I think now looking back on it, like, if you've read it a couple of times, I think you go, no, this dude's a zombie.
Yeah.
With the 1932 release of White Zombie. But it wasn't until 1968 that zombies acquired a cult following of their own with the release of Night of the Living Dead, directed by George Romero. Over the next 15 years, Romero directed two more zombie films, Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. As special effects technology improved with each film, the zombies appeared more gruesome and realistic.
But did you know?
No.
In the first film, he never once referred to them as zombies. So in the script and all the way through the film, if they're referred to, they're referred to as ghouls, not zombies. It was only during all the press releases and interviews that someone started using the Z word, and then George himself kind of started using the zombie word, and he kind of blames the film critics kept using the word zombie, so they were really influential in associating the term to his creatures. And then in the second and third films, they were actually referred to as zombies in the scripts rather than just ghouls.
I did not know that. I mean, I also have not seen the films.
I think I've seen the first one.
When I was younger, I used to be really scared of, like, anything kind of horror.
Yeah.
So zombies were a big thing. I can't play, like, horror games. Like The Last of Us and...
Yeah.
Lord scene stuff.
I can't really either. But, like, I haven't even played the vampire one, Resident Evil.
Oh, I have.
I know you love that one because you love vampires, but I'm not a massive fan of horror games in general, apart from maybe Phasmophobia, which, again, is ghost hunting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a game called Visage.
Michelle Visage? No.
I think I'll have to show you the gameplay, actually, later. Yeah. That's terrifying. I actually bought the game off Steam. I've never, like, finished it all the way. I watch other people play it, but I've never finished it myself because, oh, it's just freaky. But when it comes to Resident Evil and the lovely lady, I've seen in Dimitrescu, I'm like, I wasn't even scared. I was like, yeah, come on, bro. Yeah. But yeah, zombies freak me out.
Yeah.
From the 1980s on, a dozen of zombie films were made, even Scooby-Doo battle zombies in the 1998 film Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Yeah, go Scooby.
And the 2013 release of World War Z, starring Brad Pitt, brought zombie culture to a disturbing new level. Not surprisingly, television jumped on the zombie bandwagon with shows like iZombie and Helix. But no zombies ever terrified more television viewers than those on The Walking Dead. Each show features a post-apocalyptic zombie feeding frenzy that leaves us horrified yet unable to look away. So, are zombies in the Bible?
Excuse me. Knock, knock, knock. Do you believe in our Lord Saviour Jesus Christ and zombies?
Do you have time to listen to us about the passion of Christ?
And zombies.
And zombies. The modern day carnivorous zombie isn't in the Bible, but there are many references to bodies being reanimated or resurrected, which may have inspired zombie myths throughout history. The book of Ezekiel describes a vision where Ezekiel is dropped in a boneyard and prophesies to the bones. The bones start to shake and become covered in muscle and flesh until they're reanimated, yet there was no breath in them. And the book of Isaiah states, "Thy dead man shall live, together with my dead body shall they rise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Moreover, passages abound in both the Old and New Testament about the resurrection of saints and sinners in the end times. This may be one of the reasons so many zombie stories are associated with the apocalypse.
There's not as much folklore around zombies as there is something, for example, vampires. So, like, vampires go back centuries, and there's folklore around all Eastern Europe. But zombies, really, other than in the Congo and Haiti, where they have something that's kind of the same. Zombies are mostly just films and books.
Yeah.
And all that kind of shit. So, what's your favourite zombie film?
I'd have to go on World War C. Yeah. Just because, like, I generally think that if those zombies were ever a thing, we'd all be fucked. Like, truly and utterly fucked, because they run faster than Usain Bolt.
Yeah, fuck those zombies, man.
Have you read the book?
No, I haven't read the book or seen the film, but they're both on my never-ending lists to see and read.
So, I watched the film before I read the book, and then the film is completely different to what the book is. Like, the book's based on, like, a newspaper journalist type of character who goes around and, like, discusses what's happening in the world and how, like, the virus is, like, impacting the economy.
That sounds interesting.
Like, it's all, like, newspaper clippings and, like, his, like, journals and stuff like that. It's really good. I probably took about a day to read it. It was quite a small book. But the film's quite terrifying because they're, like, the zombies play dead or they, like, pretend to be sleeping kind of thing. So you have to be really quiet, basically. So there's, like, a scene, without giving too much away, where, like, they're trying to get to a certain destination.
Yeah.
And there's all, like, dead people in, like, the streets and stuff. There's, like, no lights and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's completely and utterly silent. And they have to ride bikes between these dead bodies because they're pretending to... They're, like, in a sleep state.
Yeah.
To essentially... If they hear a noise, they reanimate again.
Oh, they sound horrific.
And start running after you.
Nah, they sound horrific.
It scares the shit out of me because I'm like, oh.
I don't know if I want to watch this now.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like typical zombies to me, because to me, zombies are like a bit brain dead and thick anyway, and not clever. They're not clever predators. Yeah. They're like stupid predators.
These ones are like, they're like rabid. So it's like when you have a rabid dog coming after you, or you watch a film with a rabid dog.
Yeah.
They're like absolutely batshit, and all they're doing is running at you, and then all they have to do is bite. They just have to bite, and that's it. They fuck off.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you've bitten, it takes up to what, like just over 10 seconds, and you just change.
That's quick.
It's honestly, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. When I first watched it, I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
I was freaked out. I was like, nah, I can't sleep. Yeah. I'm like terrified that if that ever came to be, we'd all be screwed.
Yeah.
Because none of us can fucking run.
So, no. I certainly can't.
Oh, I just couldn't cope.
So I think my view on zombies is a bit skew-iff, because my favourite zombie film and the first, and probably one of the only ones I've actually ever watched, is, like, it's Shaun of the Dead. So in my head, I know. So in my head, any zombies that can run, I'm like, nah. Any zombies that are like the ones you've just described, I'm like, nah, that's not a zombie, man. Because I just imagine, like, Shaun of the Dead, the trolley boy, that girl from the checkouts in the garden where they're throwing, like, fucking records at her. That is one of my favourite films. Do you know what? If anyone asks me what my favourite film in general is, I always say Shaun of the Dead. I then list some Disney films, but, like, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz are, like, my top.
I love Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Purely because I just love their accent.
Yeah. No luck catching them killers, then. It's only the one killer, actually.
No luck. A great big bushy beard.
Yes.
Just like...
Yeah.
I actually really fancy watching it. I watch it all the time. I'm
it's one of my comfort films, both of them. So that was my introduction into zombie films. And then I'm sure I've seen, like, 28 Days Later, where it's more of a virus, and they escape, and that girl is the cure, the girl with the Madeleine McCann eye.
Yeah. I haven't seen 28 Days Later, but, like, I haven't seen many. So I watched The Walking Dead up until a certain point, but that was because of other reasons why I stopped watching it.
Yeah, I've not seen all of that.
But the reason why I don't really watch zombie stuff is because it probably freaks me out the most.
Do you know what?
I don't know why, but it just scares me.
I think why is because, this is why it freaks me out a bit, because I feel like it could become real. Vampires, not real, unfortunately.
Don't say that.
Werewolves, not real. But to me, zombies, in my head, it can only take one fuck up from one person in some weird virus center to release something like that out into the wild that could turn people rabid or into zombies. Like,
yeah.
I mean, with coronavirus, it was almost...
I mean, look at COVID.
Yeah. How quickly that spread before any governments did anything about it. So if that was a virus that had been like a zombie virus, that could just like that could go. And that's what scares me the most about zombies. I'd like to think that I have an action plan and that I'd be all right, but no, I don't think I would, because with COVID...
I don't know, because it's kind of difficult, because obviously with COVID now, it's more difficult and people are like working from home and like, it's like, okay, what would you do? And I'd just be like, I'd probably shit myself. I'd probably have to go for a shit before I shit myself.
I think I'd just be unaware.
What? Actually,
you wouldn't believe it, would you?
It depends. So if it was like in regards to like zombies from World War C, we wouldn't have chance to go anywhere because we'd already would have been bitten because of how quickly the virus spreads in that film.
Yeah.
It's just insane, absolutely insane. If it was The Walking Dead, it would take probably a year, maybe a year and a half.
Yeah, but I still don't think I would understand... Especially with our fucking government, I don't think I'd understand the situation early enough to go with my number one zombie apocalypse plan.
And then this is where you would go, so say that with how the shit the government is anyway, so you would like at least try and keep an eye out for certain things. So if you felt like a bad vibe was happening, or like, you know, they were covering certain things that were happening outside in the world, which they already do anyway.
Yeah.
You and then obviously... hopefully figure it out and just be like, something's happening.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have like some sort of plan in place. Yeah, I mean, you get a little baby pack, put your kids in.
The cats would absolutely come with me.
Yeah. My cats are coming in the handbag.
Yeah.
Like, go in that bag. I'll suffocate them if I have to.
Yeah. I'm not leaving them behind. They're my children. Eamon can... Fuck Eamon. I'm kidding. I need him to help.
Carry the kids.
Yeah, you can carry them. I'm the driver in this family, so...
I am also the driver at mine, currently.
So, I used to always have a zombie apocalypse plan.
Okay.
And it's a bit... Now that I'm a little bit older, I realise how much of a stretch it is. So, my mum lives in the south of France, and where she lives, she's got her house, which is in the middle of... Because all the houses are... I'd just like to point out, all the houses in the south of France... where she lives are like this. Like, it's not... She's not, like, really fucking rich or something. Got her house, which is in, like, this... It's kind of on the outskirts of everything. So, on one... There's, like, a fucking forest on the other side of the road to her. But her house is in the middle of a fairly decent-sized garden with huge fences that are hidden by hedges and electric gates, right? So... First things first, it's kind of quite almost isolated, and there's that defence. And there's a swimming pool. So you empty the swimming pool, rainwater, sorted for drinking water if the toilets and stuff break, or if the taps break. Also, her actual house, because it is a villa in France, so there's quite a lot of, like, doors out onto the terrace. All those doors have, like, wooden shutters, and every single window that doesn't have a shutter has bars. You can open and close it, but there's bars. So even if zombies could get into the fucking... perimeter gate, her house itself is perfect for...
She could just do some, like, nice gardening if she really wanted to.
Yeah, and 5 minutes down the road, supermarket. Very early on when the looting starts, she could go and stock up and her house would be grand. However, so my plan was always to shit hits the fan, pack all the shit I need in my car and go and drive to her. However, I now live in, like, the North Midlands of England, and driving from the North Midlands of England all the way down to the south of France is a long way, and I'd have to go through a lot of shit to get there, never mind crossing the borders and stuff, and now because of Brexit, like...
Yeah, that would be, like, a massive journey in itself, because, like, where's the closest you could go to, like, cross the...
Have to go to, like, Dover to get the train, the Channel Tunnel.
Which is, like...
Or a ferry, but do I want to risk being on an underground train when society is collapsed?
That's under awful. The ocean. When the thought just hit me.
Yeah, when society is collapsing.
The thought has just hit me, like, I just imagine it like in a movie where you're just like, the lights go out and you just hear people screaming. That actually fucking terrifies
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So, that's the quickest way. Or then do I just drive all the way down there and abandon my car and jump on the quickest boat that's going to get me there and hope that I can just steal a car on the other side? Because I have a full license, not just an automatic, so I could steal any car I wanted and be able to drive it.
Yeah.
No shade to those of you who have got just an automatic license, but you didn't think about zombie apocalypse, did you, when you got your license?
I mean, I didn't, but I can drive automatic.
Yeah,
as well.
I know, I didn't think about it. But automatics are easy if you can do gears. Anyway, it's just it's just a long way to go, because I wouldn't want to necessarily want to get a ferry either. Imagine you're on a ferry and you're trapped and someone gets it, and it's kind of like the cruise ship in bloody coronavirus. Wasn't there loads of people trapped on a cruise ship?
Oh, yeah, because
during
they
corona.
COVID, didn't they? And
yeah, so they weren't they all stuck on a cruise ship or something?
Yeah, which is like my worst nightmare, because I get seasick as well.
Yeah,
I'm basically fucked. Yeah, so I'm not running for shit. So if it's the Walking Dead zombies, I'm fine, so I don't need to run. However, if it's the World War Z zombies, I'll just shoot myself.
Well, no, if it's the World War Z zombies, I think I'd try. So my dad lives 10 minutes away, so I think whatever zombies happened, I'd probably just make my way to my dad's house, because he lives in a little village.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is less, it's rural, so it's less likely to be affected.
Yeah.
He's got a fairly decent garden and grows a bit of his own veg. So I feel like...
Yeah. As long as you're not making, like, so much noise that, like, yeah. they attract anything, I think you're okay. I think, regardless of what the situation was and, like, what type of zombies it was, I'd just, like, go into the middle of fucking nowhere. Mojino and Richie, I'm just tagging along with your idea. So they said, like, what Richie has always said, that he'll go to like the Scottish Islands kind of thing.
Yeah,
literally mountains in the middle of nowhere. Who the fuck is gonna go up there? Certainly not zombies. And I said, yes, we can stop it, go outdoors, because they do ration packs.
Yeah.
They do dried ration packs.
Yeah.
So if you weren't able to go to a supermarket on your way there, or, you know, you wanted to escape basically like the city life to avoid obviously getting attacked and getting killed, go outdoors, one of the unlikeliest places you could possibly like get resources from. But obviously you've got your camping gear anyway and like your hiking gear. And then also they do ration packs and they do camping equipment for you to be able to cook food.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I would raid. I wouldn't bother raiding any supermarket. I'd be raiding them.
Yeah, because I think the end goal is you want to get somewhere where you can easily protect yourself, but also you've got the abilities to grow your own food and keep yourself alive in that sense too.
Yeah, because let's be honest, like, the reason why, like, they do zombie films in America and stuff is because it's so populated.
There's really, really populated areas, but then also big expanses of unpopulated, so
but
you can
not habitable because of like, I don't know, most of it's like the desert, like the Arizona desert and stuff like that. Whereas like if you were to go to like the Scottish Highlands, obviously you've got resources, as in like it's habitable for you to live there, obviously grow your own crops, cattle, all that sort of, so you'd be sorted for a few years away from civilization. And then if it was like a biological warfare one, obviously you should be away from localized hotspots.
Yeah,
that's my plan anyway. So like I'd tell Morgina and Richie, like, I'll meet you on the way there.
In reality though, like, so we've got all these plans.
Yeah.
In reality, I feel like
I'd just die instantly. Like, I'd just apply, guys, I'm really sorry, but I'm dying right now.
I would probably shit myself, not want to leave the house, order a shit ton of canned goods to get delivered by Tesco.
Oh no, I'd leave my house instantly. I'd get all the cats. I'd be like, Morgina, Richie, we're on a go now.
I don't know. So maybe I would try and make it to my dad's, because like I say, 10-minute drive, so doable, potentially.
I think it's kind of difficult though, because we live in such like popular, well, it's full of people. It's not like your house and then a few miles down the road
I'm semi-detached.
Obviously my house is terraced at the moment, so I don't think I would want to stay in the house. I think that would make my options less like, I have less options basically to survive. I think it will be necessary for me to just basically fuck up, because I can go on the M6.
Yeah, so, like, it's really close.
Straight up to Scotland.
Yeah.
Find somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd board my windows up. Definitely my lower windows.
Well, in World War Z, the film, Brad Pitt, like, to protect himself, because obviously their, like, first instinct is to bite and obviously transmit the virus. He gets, like, magazines and duct tapes his forearms and anything that he can't cover up with, like, clothing or, like, protective gear, he will, like,
cover with
magazines or, like, cardboard and stuff, because then obviously the teeth can't dig in.
That's quite a good idea.
So, if you don't have any protective gear, like knee pads, shin pads, anything like that, like, wrap yourself up in, like, anything that someone can't put their mouth on and dig their teeth in, essentially. Like, magazines or cardboard.
We always have duct tape in the house, so I just make a duct tape suit. Like, gloves and everything.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's what I would do. I'd already go outdoors because it's so useful and...
Yeah.
Have all the equipment that I could possibly need, and then I'd go up in my tiny little car with my three cats, let them wander around. They'd probably be shitting themselves, but like, where the fuck have you taken us?
Yeah, it's cold here.
Oh yeah, it'd be really cold, so I'd have to think.
I'd take my duvet with me.
I'll just take my fucking bed.
Yeah.
Well, my air bed, and then
I could just picture your tiny little car with like a mattress on top. Flopping about in the wind.
I'd have to get, like, what are they called now, where you're like rope.
Yeah.
You'd have to
just... bungee cords.
Yeah. I'd be bringing so much shit with me. And little car won't be able to take it.
This is the thing, in any apocalypse, I'd be like, but can I bring my duvet? Because I love my bed so much that I'd need that with me.
But it's just like a sense of like safety into it, like a sense of home. Like, I'm like that, because if I, like, stay at anyone else's houses, like, it's fine for a certain point, and then you're just like, I kind of wish I was at home.
Yeah.
I wish I was in my own bed. Like,
well, this is why. So, last weekend, everybody, we spent the day in Manchester together getting tattoos and piercings, and then that evening we wanted to record a podcast. We both knew that we'd want to be at home, so I dropped Emma off at home on the way, made my own way home, and then we zoomed each other to record an episode. Nah, I wanted my own bed after.
I was very happy to have my own bed.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was the right decision.
I went to bed as soon as like we ended the call.
Yeah.
Scott had actually like ordered Domino's, and he was like, "Do you want anything?" So I was like, "Oh, I want chicken wings." Even though I had chicken wings earlier, I was like, "I love more chicken wings." And then I didn't even have them. I just went to bed. I just climbed into bed, and all the cats were around me, and I just went.
Yeah,
this is life.
Yeah.
I just sleep. And I didn't wake up like until the next day.
Yeah.
I was like out. Completely out.
What food would you miss the most if there's a zombie apocalypse and everything shut down?
Steak.
I was just when you said chicken wings, because you've been obsessed chicken with wings. Them. You've been obsessed with them lately, I feel. But...
I do chicken wings and steak.
Steak is something you could do yourself though, because if you had a cow on your little farm.
That's true.
You could do the steak, but you know, you could order Domino's or like fish and chips in the same way that you could.
Yeah, I mean, at this moment in time, I'm getting sick on McDonald's, so I don't think I feel like how I'm feeling right now. It would be steak or Sunday dinners, because I have Sunday dinners a lot.
I'm obsessed with like Domino's pizza at the moment. I don't know why.
Yeah, so I go through Domino's. Phases.
Same.
Anything Chinese, but then like I just get packet noodles because I live on them anyway.
Yeah, I can't handle those anymore. I had too many of them at uni.
Okay. What choice of weapon would you have?
Oh, do you know, my brain immediately goes cricket bat. Because of Shaun of the Dead, because I think if they get so close to you, you can just twat them around the head. But realistically, I have shit upper body strength.
So I don't think
I'd be able to hit them hard enough to do any damage.
No, but you do what Negan does in The Walking Dead, and he has a baseball bat.
With nails, isn't it? Yeah.
So you do that, and then...
Like Steve's baseball bat or Stranger Things. Yeah. That's what I'd have. Yeah.
That I always said I have that, because it's something I can whack with, but then also it's still going to have that satisfying even.
It's going to do more damage to the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, because you need to make sure that when you're hitting the head. Because that's obviously the thing that's making them killer moves.
Part of me would maybe want a gun as well, like in Zombieland, they all have guns. Just because if I
only
ever
only if they have a silencer on, because if they're like, so if you're attracting zombies by noise,
yeah,
obviously, yeah, have a gun as long as you can have a silencer on it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just screwing yourself over because yeah. they can hear this fucking noise.
But like, because if I had to sacrifice, so if someone I loved got bitten and they were going to turn within 10 seconds, like in World War Z. A gun to the head is so much quicker, and I want to say easier than having to
it's
pull that force behind a baseball
humane
bat.
Humane kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think I had a conversation with Mojin and Richie. They were like, okay, which would you rather lose, a leg or an arm? If you got bitten by a zombie, what, you know...
If I got bitten by a zombie, I'd rather lose an arm. I said this. I could still run.
I said this because they were like, but what happens if you got bitten a leg? And I was like, then you have to shoot me. And they were like, but no, what happens if we just chop your leg off and then the virus doesn't spread? And I was like, you're going to have to fucking shoot me, because if I get damaged anywhere where it results in you having to pick me up and like carry me, I'm just a dead weight at that point. You're just going to have to shoot me.
They're almost sacrificing themselves to save you because... Yes, there's no point. But arm, chop it off, you can just run then. They can have the weapons to kind of shoot
you.
You
make like a tourniquet.
Tourniquet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Tourniquet, yeah.
Is it a tourniquet? Or is that my like...
Tourniquet.
Did something.
It's one of those.
Take your belt off for a shoelace.
Yes.
Tie it round.
Probably a belt.
Try and stem the blood flow.
It's thicker. And then...
You guys smoke, so you'd probably have a lighter on you so you could cauterise the wound.
Yeah, so what you would have to do is obviously...
Oh, God, this is horrific.
get a belt, preferably, or anything that's thick enough for you to wrap around your arm or leg.
Yeah.
Depending on where you get bit. Stop the blood flow. That's the main point, otherwise you'll just bleed out. You get a... a machete or a hatchet, whatever you want to use.
Whatever's at hand.
Hopefully,
scissors.
Hopefully it's someone who can swing hard enough so that when they're chopping your arm or leg off...
It doesn't take too many...
Yeah, it takes minimal blows,
yeah.
Once the limb's off, douse it in alcohol.
I'd throw it at the zombies, like to distract them.
To disinfect it a little bit.
Oh, your actual still attached arm, not the... one you chopped off.
No, the one you chopped off on the wound.
Yeah.
So you pour some alcohol on it.
Yeah, disinfect that.
And then you can take a swig of alcohol, because obviously if you drink alcohol before you have the limb taken off, the blood thins.
Yeah, so you'll bleed more.
Douse it in, and then you cauterize it.
Yeah.
And then you just wrap it up as much as you can, and make sure you take antibiotics.
If
because it will get... Just take them anyway.
Yeah. No, but what if you don't have any?
What? No,
if we got to go fucking raid a pharmacy as well, at this rate.
Okay, hope to God you've got some antibiotics.
This is making me now, if
and
I ever get a cold, I just
but I'm allergic to ibuprofen, so...
Oh, you're
I'm fucked. Well, me and Eamon are fucked anyway, because...
Yeah, you can't take tablets.
Yeah. And we can't swim.
And you can't swim. Jesus, dead weight.
Shoot me. I've always said that you should just shoot me, because I'm just going to be...
Yeah.
I'm going to be useless.
Yeah.
I feel like we should set up camp in the Scottish Highlands.
To be fair, if I can't make it to my dad's, or if
just
something's gone wrong there, I'm just going to make...
Actually, if the cell towers are down, then you can't mess with me.
No. Yeah. I'm just going to start driving up to the Scottish Highlands.
You'll fucking see me anyway with my hair.
Your hair and your car, I'd notice you, with the mattress on top flapping in the wind.
But my only problem is, it's like, in fact, it's not really a problem because my car's quite small. So obviously when there's like loads of traffic, I'd be able to weave in and out, and hopefully that there wouldn't be any barriers on the side, because I would just go on there.
Yeah. So a good person that we know to have during a zombie apocalypse, I think, would be Kate.
Okay.
Because her driving's a little bit scary. Kate... I had this conversation with Kate earlier, because she knows
aware.
How I feel about her driving. But she's the kind of person that would be able to put her foot down and zigzag through all the wrecked cars on the motorway quickly
What car does she have?
I can't remember. Her mum's car's dead nice, though. You could fit a lot of us in there. But then Kate has a child, and I'd feel like we'd have to bring Noah with us too. And I don't know if I could handle me, Eamon, Kate, Noah, Tom, and the cats in a car.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Well, Maudina's mum has got like a 4x4, so I'd feel like, I don't know, I'd have to get to a safe point and be like, okay, pick me up on the way, yeah. Because her mum's car can do more like demanding terrain.
Yeah.
Whereas Tallulah can barely fucking go up a fucking hill in third gear. And I'm like, bro.
Yeah. So I have a Corsa.
Your car's quite good.
I think
good.
I'd be all right.
You'll be fine.
She's got out of a lot of muddy festival fields.
Yeah, so we're not taking Tallulah. We're hopefully taking Maudina's mum's car.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Tallulah would just be stuck in mud.
Yeah. No, my car's fine.
I'm not having that.
No.
I don't want to be that person. I'm just going to be like, no, we'll just go in a 4x4. And then if it gets that cold or I get tired of, like, camping, I can, there's enough space for both me and Maudina to sleep in the car.
Yeah, or me and Eamon can sleep in the car.
So.
Also in Scotland, in some of the hills, they have these random little houses for hikers to stay in if they get stuck out on the hills. They're just kind of, I can't remember what they're called. I'm sure it's Real Life Ghost Stories do a ghost story episode on these particular, on these kinds of houses that are out there. So if you just get to like the Scottish Highlands, find one of these little huts that you can like fire in and you've got like a little house. So you probably wouldn't have to camp, even though me and Eamon have a great tent. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'd get a pop-up tent because I don't do putting a tent together.
Oh, actually, because I feel like speed is key in these kinds of things.
So a pop-up tent would be number one.
Because if you want, you need to lob everything in the car in an emergency and then you can, even if you don't necessarily fold your pop-up tent down correctly, you could probably fold it down small enough and cram it into a space.
So
like, rather than like taking the poles out.
So learning from the best, Richie, who will not hear this. I don't think he listens to the podcast, but after living with him. So he always had like an emergency bag. So you'd have like a sewing kit.
Yep.
Spare clothes. A first aid kit.
Yep.
3 days worth of food and water. I feel like there was something else. A torch.
Mm-hmm.
A little knife.
Yeah. Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Amy's got one in the kitchen.
Just in case.
Yeah.
If
I was going to say passport, but I don't know if you need your passport.
At that point, would you even care? You'd just be like,
I don't know.
I
have pink hair on my passport.
I need to get a new passport, actually.
Yeah.
Obviously, for women, it's a bit more difficult because you would have to bring, like, pads, tampons.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Any sort of medication that you're on, because women tend to be on more medication than men because of hormones
I was about to say, oh, shit, because diabetes has to bring metformin with me. But living, so I'm just using the example here as if I foxed my plan off and came to the Scottish Highlands with you.
Okay.
If that happened, I'd probably be living a much better lifestyle, so I wouldn't need the fucking metformin anyway.
Yeah, you probably, I mean,
because we'd be eating, like, courgettes grow really fucking well really quickly. We've got, like, a shit ton in the garden. I gave one to Jodie last night because we've got too many, and I was like, do you want a courgette? She was like, okay.
I'll take some with me tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll grab you one.
I love courgettes, actually. Yeah. And aubergines.
Yeah, we'll grab you a courgette.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think, because you'd probably be eating a lot of organic, healthy fruit and veg that you could grow.
Yeah. The problem is, which type are you?
2. So I'm not on insulin injections yet.
Okay. I always get mixed up. So type 2 diabetes is a condition that causes too much sugar in your blood. So if we were in the situation of, okay, we're going to the Scottish Highlands, we're going to camp out there for like a few days and wait for this all to blow over.
Yeah.
And have a pint of the Winchester.
Yeah.
I just realised what I said and I was like, and
sorry, Phil.
You'd be fine because you wouldn't need to take your medication.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, seriously, yeah. Like, what are you inducing into your body that's going to have too much sugar in it?
Exactly. So now, if I really wanted to, I could kind of, I would never fully be non-diabetic now, because I am diabetic, but I could maintain it, my lifestyle and diet enough to not need the medication.
You just have to be careful that if we ever went back to normal civilization, if however it resolved,
yeah,
that your condition may worsen or it may be more
a shock to the system.
Sensitive,
yeah. The first time I had like a pizza, it would be like, whoa!
Yeah.
Because it's not just, everyone's always like, oh, it's just sugar. And it's like, yes, but sugar is not just in sweets and chocolate. It is in fruit and it is in carbs.
Yeah. I think, yeah, do forget that obviously, like, there's sugar and in almost anything. It's just what's the right sugar for your body, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I think you'd be fine. You'd be absolutely fine. You wouldn't need to worry about your medication. Obviously, bring it just in case anyway.
I'd bring whatever supplies I had.
I have loads of medication that I used to be on that I've just never needed to take anymore, like contraception pill.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never ever touched that anyway because it messed too much with my body. Sodium picosulfate for when you're constipated.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what else I'd have to bring? Rennie. For the heartburn. When I feel sick.
I actually, considering I can't take like medication or pills in general, I have like loads of like cold and flu capsules.
Yeah.
And ibuprofen. I'm allergic to ibuprofen.
Yeah, just bring all the stock you've got.
Dissolvable paracetamol and dissolvable aspirin.
I've got quite a lot of those.
That's what I've got because that's the only thing
we've got a lot of those too for Eamon.
Yeah. I remember when I think you said something like, "Oh, I can't take tablets too," and we just kind of bonded over that. I was just like, hey, he's a fucking weirdo as me as well.
Yeah. What else do we need in a zombie apocalypse?
Oh yeah, like. You said a bat or like a cricket bat, some sort of thing that you could swing.
Yeah.
I'd agree as well, but if I did have the upper strength, I would just have a sledgehammer.
Oh yeah. Ka-dunk.
And then I would also train myself in bow and arrow, so yes. Archery.
Yes.
I'd train myself in that, so obviously long distance shots. I could like if there was a few and I didn't want to get too close to them. Yeah,
you just want a crossbow though because like, that's when you just load it, press the button, ding. Yeah.
But then they've got like some weight behind them, so you have to be strong enough to actually even pull it back.
Yeah.
And if you're not quick enough, obviously that's when you get into
a bit of a pickle.
Yeah, you get into situations. So I don't know. I definitely would have like a long range weapon. So that would probably be like a bat. If I was back in the medieval times, it'd be a fucking spear.
Yeah. Do you know what? Spears are my favourite things on, like, Zelda Breath of the Wild. Because I love just going, ee, 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 to the enemies. Because you don't have to get too close to them. You just, like, stab them a few times.
Long range can also be, like, archery. So bow and arrow. Crossbow is kind of short range.
The part of the problem is... Well, not part of the problem. But, like, so, for example, Zombieland... We watched the second Zombieland recently, and I quite liked it, actually. But they have a shit ton of guns between them. But that's because they're in America, and I don't think there are that many guns in the UK. So you'd struggle to get... I'd quite like a couple of guns, but I think we'd struggle to get any.
Yeah, so...
Unless we went and raided a farmer, but I think they'd just shoot you before you got too close enough to...
Oh, yeah, they would...
Get the guns, yeah.
They wouldn't even hesitate. They wouldn't even hesitate now, depending on which farm you were on. So before I moved to like Stoke for uni, we actually had a gun shop outside the outskirts of like a village.
No.
I don't know, like I remember it when I was younger, but it's not there now, I don't think. But there actually used to be a gun shop there.
No.
Oh, and I was just like, bro. and we lived in a little village.
Yeah.
Yeah, similar to like Alton. But yeah. He used to be a gun shop, so I guess if that was still open at that point, I would have just gone there. But then they're too noisy at all, and you need something like silent and kind of clean. I mean, I guess like you grunting, the fact that you're having to swing a bat isn't...
The thing is, it depends. How long I survived, I think, would depend on what kind of zombies they were. Short of the dead zombies, I think I'd be alright.
Well...
As any zombies that can run, zombies that are noise sensitive, I'm fucked, man. I mean, I'm better at running than I am at upper body strength. I used to, like, be a sprinter. I mean,
if something's chasing me, I'm running.
Fucking run. I'd be out of breath like, very quickly.
I just don't run for anything else in my life. Just
stock up on... I'd go to a pharmacy and be like, inhalers.
Morgina needs those.
Yeah.
She fucking forgets hers all the time.
Morgina...
Morgina, bring it inhalers if we ever have to go in a post-apocalyptic...
Warfare?
Yeah.
Situation?
Yeah. But Richie always says that, like, you need enough supplies for at least 3 days because it was biological or anything of that sort that, like, if you went into like really inhabited places, you need to like let it settle down first. So at least 3 days, and then 3 days would be like, if there's enough of you, you can organise like going to get more supplies, yeah. Or, you know.
3 days is enough time to get yourself into a place, should be enough time to get yourself into a safe place,
yeah.
Where you can then rest and form a plan to, yeah. Continue forward.
So if there was like, I don't know, me, you, Eamon, Morgina and Richie, and if anyone else wanted to join along, obviously them, then we would all set into little groups and obviously go, okay, your responsibility is like getting supplies for like medication,
yes.
Anything of that sort, because whatever we need at the time, yeah. We're going to need it. And then one other person is like, okay, we need to set up like proper camps, or like, you know.
I think Eamon would be good at setting up the, Eamon would be good at setting up the proper camp, because he's really good at putting tents up. He's done a lot of camping at festivals, so he's good at the survival kind of, I mean, I know, festival compared to zombie apocalypse, not great. He's grown a shit ton of courgettes.
Yeah.
I mean, courgettes are, if anyone wants to start growing their own fruit or veg, I think courgettes are a good place to start, because he just kind of lobbed some seeds in there at the wrong time of year, just because he wanted something in this little patch, and now we are kind of overrun with, yeah. Courgettes.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll drive.
So me, Morgina and Richie always said that, like, okay, what are the things that we're good at? So we actually discussed, as if, like, apocalypse was ever going to happen.
It might. You have to be prepared. We actually
discussed what would happen, and what traits are we good at that we can use to help, like, set up camp. I said I was good at cooking. I could literally make anything out of anything you give me. Yeah. Like, I'm good at cooking. Now I'm trying to think what other things I'm good at. There was a couple other things they said that I was good at.
Mm-hmm. I'm alright at sewing, and I don't mind driving. Richie's
also good at sewing as, yeah. Well, so you two could be the sewers if we ever needed that.
I'll make you some clothes,
Richie obviously would help with like the hunting, so like, yeah. If we needed to get meat or whatever, he's obviously had experience in that, he would help the hunting. And we actually had a conversation about how we would, like, you know, what our best stone qualities were and how would that help in an apocalypse. And I said, if you literally, like, I'm good at, you know, food, anything food related, I understand very well,
yeah.
Food is, do you know, a secret passion. So
after as you were saying that, and after watching many years of, like, I'm a Celeb, I would make sure to pack salt, because they all fucking miss salt, don't they?
Yeah, so I feel, I like, mean, rice I and beans touch, would... I don't touch salt, so...
But I feel like rice and beans wouldn't be that bland if you had a little bit of salt or spice on it.
Yeah, like paprika or cayenne or... Salt and pepper is your standard seasoning anyway, or... Yeah. What's the other one? Like, chilli flakes... Yeah, garlic, mate, powder.
I don't think anyone would survive without some chili flakes.
You know, I'd definitely have a little bag full of, yeah. Spices. Just, you know, just spice it up. Like, baked beans are, like, a really good source of protein.
And they're one of your five a day.
Yeah, which always really baffles me, because...
I think it's because of the tomato sauce.
Yeah. I mean, they are quite tasty anyway. Yeah. I prefer them cold, which is,
yeah, we do. Really weird.
I actually prefer them cold as well. Like, I don't normally have baked beans too. Hot.
Eamon, like, thinks I'm weird for preferring baked beans cold. Yeah. But...
See, I'd be fine then if I had no way of, like, heating my food up. I like most foods cold.
Yeah.
As long as they're already cooked through, I can eat them cold. Yeah. So, like, tinned spaghetti bolognese, I'll eat cold.
I don't like that because... the reason I don't like tinned spaghetti bolognese or the tinned just spaghetti and tomato sauce... It's because that episode of Goosebumps where the spaghetti turned to worms.
I'm not going to watch that now.
We need to move on because it's going to make me gag because I hate worms.
Anyway. But worms are, like, good for...
No, fuck off with worms. I'm literally going to gag. I hate them that much.
Anything like that. Any, like, insects. So, like, what's it?
I'm not eating worms. Fuck off.
I'm not telling you to eat worms. I'm saying they're good for the soil. So when you want to grow stuff.
That's fine. That's fine. I don't have to go out and find worms, though, for that. They'll just be there.
For fuck's sake. So, like, if you do set up camp somewhere and you want to grow stuff, the best thing that you can use to help the soil be at the acidity and alkaline is human shit. So feces, like
manure.
I'm saying it right. I always question my own
manure
capabilities of speaking. Manure, like leftover, like vegetables, like compost, anything that you can compost heap, and manure, a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So if you don't have cattle anywhere that you can use their shit to help with the compost, use your own shit, which is a good way of like making the soil, if it's not habitable for like the veg that you need to grow, it changes the alkaline in the soil and the acidity. Yeah.
Acidity.
Yeah, I can't fucking speak anymore. to help you grow.
Yeah.
Certain veg.
So do you know what? I've now got visions of...
me shitting on the soil.
No. I've got visions of us in Scotland, you, Regina and Richie in your car, and me and Eamon and some cats in my car, and then we're just driving through a village, and then Richie's... All of a sudden, we're driving, but Richie's pulling this cow, and he's like, go, go, go! Like, he's stolen it so that we can have a fucking cow... For this tiny little brick building in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, because that's another thing as well. So if you were like growing stuff and, you know, had a set area. So using cattle and their hooves help compound the ground and then turn it back up again. Basically like
a plough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a natural one.
So what we're establishing here is that Jeremy Clarkson is going to survive a zombie apocalypse with his farm.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We'll just fucking raid it anyway.
Yeah.
Jeremy Clarkson, we're coming out for you.
Coming for you.
But that's what I do. You know, you're like, if you're in a rural area, just set up camp somewhere that you know that's safe and away from people invading it and zombies coming after you.
Yeah.
And then you start raising cattle and growing your own vegetables. Yeah.
See, my mum's house, because the garden is big enough to have, like, vegetable patches and stuff, then you empty the swimming pool of all the chlorinated water, and you can let it fill with rainwater, because you could then probably drink the rainwater, rather than...
Yeah, because all you need to do, ideally, is... you can drink rainwater, but if you were cautious about it, you can, like, filter it. Which you can do, make your own filtration system.
My mum's also got a forest across the road from her that's got loads of wild boar in because they actually used to hunt it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And then so there's obviously loads of trees for firewood, loads of wild boar for food.
Berries, but you do have to be careful with them. Yes. With certain berries because they're not all harmless.
I'm
going
to get you like a berry guide for your birthday.
I need one,
and a mushroom guide.
Yes. No, I prefer mushroom one. Thank you very much. Okay.
I'm actually going to get you this now, and you're never going to read it because you're never going to need it. But then, just in case.
You know, they're like useless facts that people have.
Yeah,
that mine's just going to be a
mushroom one.
Yeah. Mulgina wants one with just plants in general.
Yeah.
She wants like a herb one.
Or she just needs to listen to our poisonings episode, and then no, kidding.
Her mum actually listens to it, though.
Does she? That's awesome.
I could call her my second mum. Yeah. It's just like, oh.
Aww.
I think if you've got the right people involved and you have the right skills, like, behind you and the right knowledge, I think you're good to go and survive an apocalypse. I don't think it's quite difficult as long as you... The UK is actually all right because there's more space to, like... get away from civilization, I guess.
The annoying thing is like, unless it started here, technically we are an island, so if it started elsewhere in the world, if they closed the borders early enough, then we'd be fine. But they wouldn't close the borders early enough, as experienced by coronavirus.
Yeah, which is why you would need to go somewhere like the Scottish Highlands or Wales. Wales is quite rural.
Remote.
Yeah.
My dad's house. Do you know what? I'd go to my fucking dad's house. Cornwall's
quite remote, to be honest, in certain places because of like where it is. It's at the bottom. And also, if you needed to get away by sea,
it's
right fucking there.
Eamon can't swim, so I don't think we'd do that. But
anything that involves swimming, I'd be like, you're going to have to train me up.
just to completely change the subject, kind of, I read a book fairly recently called, I think it's called Where the Dead Go to Die.
Okay.
It's about zombies, but it's a different take on it. So America is overrun by like a zombie virus, but it's one that if you get bitten, it takes months to potentially years for it to infect your system. So you don't become a zombie immediately. It takes a long time for you to like then feel the urge to bite someone else. So they came up with the idea of, and this isn't actually a spoiler because this is kind of in the synopsis. They have like end of life centers for zombies. So you get bitten, you get sent to one of these end of life clinics. So you kind of, it's like a hospice for people that have been bitten by the zombie virus.
No way.
So they kind of make the end of your life as you're slowly getting sicker and sicker into the zombie virus. They make it comfortable. You've got like your own room and beds and stuff. And then they have a relatively humane way of dealing with you once you've turned, and they instantly kill you so that you can't infect anyone else.
No way.
Yeah, it's actually really good. And it's a short story, so I would recommend it because it didn't take me long to read. I read it on Kindle. But I just thought it was such an interesting take on the whole thing, because all of like the films and TV shows are always like a very intense zombie apocalypse thing.
Yeah, they like, this is kind of, when you get bitten, it happens like straight away or like within the next hour or so, depending on like.
But this makes it seem like it's an actual virus and an illness. In a similar kind of way of like, have you ever read The Maze Runner or seen The Maze Runner?
No, I've not done both.
So in that, there's a disease called the Flare, which is a man-made disease, and it essentially makes you kind of like rabid zombies. People go crazy and crazy until they start ripping each other apart. And again, that's a long thing. They don't deal with the people as nicely in that as they do in Where the Dead Go to Die. Because they're just kind of, the world's got other problems than The Maze Runner, I'm not going to lie. But that again though, that's the virus that makes you into kind of like a zombie, is a lot more long-term thing rather than an instant.
Okay. Have you seen Warm Bodies?
No, but is that the one with Nicholas Holt? Yeah. I have seen it, but a long, long time ago, so like my memory's
on. When they do like their version of zombies where like, he kind of
falls... He
falls in love and then he becomes more human because... Yes.
It's like a real human feeling.
It basically reanimated every part of him.
Yeah.
So like he's already a zombie, but then he can hear his thoughts, he says them, and then obviously he like kind of falls in love with this girl, and then he slowly becomes more human about it.
Yeah.
It's a really good like twist on like what zombies are.
I think I have seen that,
But then you got these like, World War Z or The Walking Dead or like Dawn of the Dead or 28 Days Later. And they're just like, oh my God, it's happening now. What are we going to do now? Kind of thing. And you're just like.
Another one you mentioned earlier, iZombie.
I've got Liv as a little Funko Pop.
Have you?
I love Liv.
Oh, so
Ravi is my favourite. I love Ravi.
I've never finished it. I've read the first graphic novel because it's graphic novels.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen the first series. I'm not sure if I've seen all of it, but I've seen it. But I like that concept of zombies though, because she can live amongst the living.
Yeah, so she obviously works in the morgue.
Yeah.
And then she starts helping a detective.
She gets flashbacks.
Solve cases, and she eats the brains of like the victims, and she gets like, she gains the like traits of like personalities, memories,
emotions.
Yeah. So there's an amazing one where she eats a brain from a dominatrix, and she turns into a dominatrix. When she just starts acting it out, and I'm like, I bet that was so much fun just to do that. But Ravi's my favourite. I fucking love Ravi. But I need to rewatch it actually because it's been a while. But I've got a little Liv Funko Pop
with
a science jacket. Lab coat. Yeah.
Science jacket.
Science jacket.
Lab coat.
That one. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I like that zombie.
But it's nice though because like, I couldn't imagine like zombies being so immediate.
No. The 10 seconds.
I like not to think they were going to be immediate, to be honest.
Yeah. So the 10-second instant change thing, realistically, how quickly does your blood go around your body? Because technically it's poison, isn't it?
Yeah, so it would have to
infect your whole body. It's going to make it to your brain or your heart or a serious organ.
I don't really know how quick your blood runs around your body. No. I think you're going to have to look
Google that. Okay, Google. Okay, on average, it takes about 45 seconds for blood to circulate from the heart all around the body and back to the heart again. So realistically, I'd say...
About a minute.
Yeah.
About a minute.
Because I'd
say... then even then, a minute could go quite quickly, to be fair.
Well, a minute takes us a minute. It could no feel shit. Quicker than a minute, I suppose, is what you're trying to say. A minute could go quite quickly. Oh, no.
A minute takes a minute. I'm aware.
Yeah.
Can't get over that fucking comment.
So I feel like 10 seconds is a bit quick to have fully transformed into a zombie in World War Z.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to fucking get the book.
I don't... The book is definitely worth reading. I don't know where they got the inspiration from, because I'm trying to remember, like, reading the book.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's been a very long time.
Yeah.
I don't think it mentions anything about 10 seconds, but in the film, Brad Pitt starts counting down because he thinks, like, and that's only... That's not because he thinks he's got bitten. That's because, I'm sure, a zombie got killed in front of him and blood splattered on his face, so he was worried that the blood would spread the virus, but I think it's through the teeth. It's something to do with the teeth, and I think it's saliva. So it's similar to rabies.
Vampires, I was going to say. So vampires, like...
There's something regarding the teeth.
Vampires in Twilight, they have venom. Because I've reread Midnight Sun recently, I know this. But they have venom.
Yeah.
So Edward, when he smells Bella, his mouth fills with venom from his teeth, because...
Which is essentially like...
It's like saliva, isn't it? Like, he's salivating, essentially.
When you smell something, like, really nice...
Yeah. Me thinking about the chips and dips.
I was thinking about them, and I'm like, But yeah, like, the venom is just, like, their saliva, but it's just more poisonous.
Yeah. So it's like that.
But he... Obviously, in the film, he thinks that it's the blood. So he lays on the floor, like, kind of shocked, and he starts counting down, and he's just like...
Yeah. And nothing happens.
And then it reaches a certain point, and then, obviously, he hasn't changed at this point. So he's like, okay, it's not the blood.
Yeah.
Because he's part of, like, the military. He's part of something, and he has the knowledge, and it's already there. So he goes, okay, like, and starts wrapping his arms in, like, magazines and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very adrenaline.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I watched it, I was like...
Is it in The Walking Dead where one of them happens to look up and then a bit of bodily fluid from a zombie drops into their eye?
I don't know.
And, like, so I've only seen, like, the first two episodes of The Walking Dead.
I've watched up to, like... I mean, this was a long time ago, so I've watched up to, like, season 8.
It's all on Disney Plus now, so I've been tempted to, like, watch it properly. But then it's long. And there's so many other things I want to watch. Because I don't have time.
Like, no disrespect to anyone that likes The Walking Dead. I enjoyed it. But it just seems very repetitive and very boring. It just felt like the same thing was happening over and over again.
Like, how do you get that many seasons of just about zombies?
I don't know, but they managed to... Well, they're doing their final season, which is the 10th one.
Yeah.
And I stopped at season 8. I just lost interest. Obviously, people enjoy it, which is why they managed to do 10 seasons, which is fair enough, but it just seemed very repetitive and very boring. It just felt like they were doing the same mistakes over and over again, but with different characters, and I just...
Oh.
I wasn't interested in that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I gave up after that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Would you rather be turned into a zombie or watch everyone you love get turned into one?
I think I'd rather be turned into a zombie. Because however much I'd want to survive myself, I don't think emotionally I would be able to cope. Because if you're a zombie, well, depending on which film we're in, let's be honest. If we're in warm bodies, you've still kind of got memories and stuff.
Yeah, you've still got the memories and emotions and what makes you you.
Yeah, whereas a lot of other zombie films, you're just kind of you're just not you anymore. You're just a rotting corpse. What would you rather?
Be turned into a zombie. I don't think I'm that hot. It's enough to watch everyone else turn around.
No.
And also, I'm fucking useless, so...
Yeah.
You know, what's it... What's good is...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, would you rather be killed immediately at the beginning of the apocalypse, or have to live through it?
I think I'd quite like to try and live through it.
I think it depends on the apocalypse for me. Yeah,
it depends on the kinds of zombies.
If it, like, say if it wasn't zombies though, say if it was like something else. But then I feel like most renditions of like apocalypses is like people coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
They're like deformed. So then I'm like, shall I just die?
Yeah.
Save some oxygen.
Yeah, save me years of anxiety and stress. Like, sometimes I can't sleep because I can't tell if I've locked the fucking back door or not. Let alone in case there's going to be a zombie outside trying to get in, breaking me windows.
Okay, so would you rather escape the end of the world by living underground forever or escape the end of the world by living in space forever? Underground, 100%.
Oh, space.
No, space freaks me the fuck out. I would 100% be underground. But even then, that's like...
I think I'd feel too claustrophobic being trapped underground the whole time. I'd love to... If there's a fucking apocalypse on Earth and I have the option to go to space, why not fucking try that? Because you're going to die if you stay on Earth anyway. Unless you're underground, obviously, in this situation. Why would you... Would you not want to try the stars? Come with me and Tom DeLong.
No. I just... Space freaks me out. Space actually scares shit out of me.
It freaks me out too, the fact that it's just so big and it's like huge. Yeah, because there could be anything out there.
You think...
But I don't want to be a mole.
You think how big the universe is now and it's bigger than that and it's bigger than that and it just keeps going on bigger. And that's what freaks me the fuck out.
Tom DeLong are going to go on the hunt for Fry and Leela.
Oh my god. Would you rather endure a natural apocalypse or one started by humans? So, what was the COVID one? Was that a natural one or was that one started by humans? Because I know like there was rumours going around that.
I'd say it started...
testing shit.
No, I think... So COVID, I think, was started by humans, but accidentally. Whereas to me, natural apocalypse is like fucking... Shit. Earthquakes and the ground opening up, whereas started by humans is a virus escapes from the labs.
Yeah.
So I think I'd rather... Oh, I don't know. I've got zombie apocalypse plans. So that's the started by humans one, isn't it, technically? I don't know how I'd cope in, like, the ground's opening up apocalypse or it's really hot.
So basically, what would you rather, like, you know... The human one is quite easy to do, but would you rather deal with, like...
Zombies?
The Earth basically collapsing in on itself.
Or sun flares.
Have you watched Knowing?
No, but The Maze Runner, there's sun flares in the fucking Maze Runner. Oh, is there? Yeah.
So Knowing is like...
Well, not The Maze Runner, like the rest of the series.
Oh, okay. The Knowing is like... It's the 15 and I remember watching that when I was younger and it freaked me the fuck out. Oh. It came out in 2009 and it was fucking scary. I mean... Watched it recently and I was like,
not that bad.
But when you're younger, when you're quite more, you know, more impressionable and you don't have such awareness about things, you're just like,
yeah,
oh, it's weird. I'd pick humans any day. I can't deal with natural disasters. Tornadoes freak me out.
Volcanoes, fuck. Do you know what actually really freaks me out? And I went through a phase of having loads of bad dreams about them. Tsunamis.
Okay.
So I can swim. I'm fine at swimming.
You'll be compared to me and Eamon.
Yeah. I went through a phase of dreaming about people I knew drowning when I was at uni. It was horrible.
Wow.
And the thought of tsunamis fucking terrified me. Well, they are scary, but I don't know why. There was just a whole period where I was. I think it was around the time that film, was it Tsunami with Matt Damon came out? Just the thought of sheer amount of water and not being able to control where you went or what you hit and not being able to breathe, I think.
Yeah. Have you watched Impossible, where it's about the tsunami in Thailand? Is it Thailand?
Thailand. I have been to the islands in Thailand. Where have you? Yeah. It's really sad.
Tom Holland is in that. He's a little puppy.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
Sweet angel.
And that film broke my dad.
I don't know if I want to watch it then.
He sobbed, and my dad doesn't really cry in films, but he like proper sobbed. And I just remember sitting there like we're all like watching it together as a family, and I'm just like, just kind of chucked a box of tissues at him. Yeah. I was like, Dad, it's okay. But it proper affected him.
I think it's because, like, for example, if it was zombies, if you were with, like, your child, you could pick them up and run. In a tsunami, if you got hit by the water, even if you managed to hold on to that person, they might not be able to breathe, and that would get them. And that, I think that's what it is. Yeah. This.
I mean, I'd just be screwed. Yeah,
you and Eamon would just drown, like...
I feel like we'd just willingly go in there.
You're like, fuck it, it's going to happen anyway. Breathe in the water.
Would you rather know the date of the end of the world or know its cause?
Date.
Really?
Yes, because if I knew its cause, every single little thing that related to that, I'd be like, like, every single time. Whereas if I knew its date, I could maybe try and prepare, maybe live my life to the fullest. Like, if I knew it was in a month's time, I'd be like, I'd just stop coming to work and I'd go visit everybody I loved and stuff.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I see where you're coming from.
I think knowing its cause but not when it was going to happen would give me far too much anxiety.
Yeah, I guess I'm with you on that one, actually. Because I was thinking, originally I was going to say, oh no, I'd rather know its cause. But then when the way you explained it, I was like, okay, maybe that makes more sense. Okay. Would you rather try to survive a global pandemic or a third world war?
Global pandemic, because...
Who would pick completed third it, world mate? War?
Global pandemic completed it, mate.
Yeah, COVID. Emma was here, 2K21.
Yeah.
Would you rather stay behind to search for your loved ones or move to safer ground?
Oh, that's a really tough one. I think it would depend on the situation. I'd rather do both, to be quite honest. I'd rather search for my loved ones when I knew that they were not findable.
I don't know, man.
Safer ground.
At the same time, it's like,
It depends on a lot of factors.
Yeah. Because, like, you can't just blindly go and search for, like, your loved ones, can you? So, and, like, if you're going on your own, you're just as idiotic as, like, the rest of them kind of thing. Like, going on your own trying to search for them.
Yeah. I think
it'd be better off going in a group.
Safety in numbers.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a bit...
But like I said with my previous zombie plans, I would maybe grab Eamon and go and see my dad. Because like I say, like a 10-minute journey.
Unfortunately, mine's not. So.
No, yeah. And like I said, half... So my dad and some of my family is a 10-minute journey. But there's a shit ton of my family that live in different countries and even different... Like a couple of hours away in England. But I think I would maybe go and search for my dad because he's close and that lot. But if... And if I had no other plans, like, say if my plan to go to France got scuppered, my plan to go to my dad's got scuppered, and then the M6, we couldn't make it up to Scotland or anything, then maybe I would probably think, right, I might as well go and find them.
Yeah, so my plan would be, I'd phone them because my family aren't close by. There is no way in hell that
if the cell towers didn't work?
I fucking hope so. But like, please, God. I'd pray and be like...
Email.
Emailing.
Carrier pigeon.
I'd at least try and give them a call first.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, hope to God at that point that they already knew what the plan was in case something happened like that. So they knew where to go. So then we could all just recoup.
Yeah.
Recuperate and...
Regather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not, then obviously I'd have to accept that, obviously, they weren't going to be there. I don't know. It's just a difficult question.
That's the toughest question, I think.
Yeah. It's just difficult because, like, I'd want to make sure that they're okay. But then knowing that, like, if I go, like, if it was zombies.
It might put your life in jeopardy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a shit question.
Yeah.
So, would you rather share supplies with someone and risk running out or hoard them and be alone? These are fucking awful. Because I'm choosing ones and everyone's like, God, this... Emma's a dickhead.
It depends on who the person was. There's a select few people in this world that I would much rather be alone than be stuck with them.
I think I'll flat out refuse and hoard my supplies and be alone. I don't know why it says be alone. Share supplies with someone and risk running out. Hoard your supplies and be alone. I don't know why the option is I'm just going to be on my own. See, that wouldn't be the case, but I wouldn't be handing out my supplies to everyone.
I'd be sharing them with the people I ran away with, my friends and family.
Well, yeah, like if you were setting up camp somewhere and there was other people.
A group. Then you've got to share your supplies because it's part of the plan. Don't stray from the plan.
Would you rather leave an injured person behind or endanger yourself by tending to their wounds?
Ooh, I want to be the hero and tend to their wounds. But knowing me, I would faint whilst trying to tend to their wounds. So
I'm not going to lie. I'd probably leave them. I know full well how, like, humans work and stuff.
Yeah.
It depends where they're injured. Like, it's very dependable on, like, where they're injured, how, like, badly they're injured. Can they still walk? If they can't walk, like, if it was a zombie apocalypse and they can't walk,
that's they're done trouble deal. For them. Yeah. And, like, if it's a zombie apocalypse and they've lost an arm, yeah, come on, run with me until you can't anymore. Yeah. I think, do you know what we're saying? Yeah, fucking chop the arm off and then you can still run. I don't think you'd still be able to run if you had your arm chopped off.
No, you would need straight to... Straight away.
Anyway, you need to recover. You'd be losing a lot of blood.
You just have to keep the...
Tourniquet,
yeah. We're going to say how you say tourniquet, not tourniquet. Tourniquet on and hope to God that... You don't pass out.
And cauterise the wound. Yeah. I'd fucking pass out, though, if you chopped me fucking arm off.
Dose me up on morphine, mate.
But you won't have time. You've got 10 seconds.
I'd probably shit myself. I'd probably have a shit.
Yeah. Shoot me in the head. Fuck it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather run back to grab your most beloved memento or leave it to get to safety? Leave it to get to safety? What depends?
Yeah, I think...
Okay. What's your most beloved memento?
I don't know. My brain just went my duvet. I don't know. I can be quite a sentimental person when it comes to keeping things.
I'm sentimental, but I ain't fucking stupid, so I'm just going to leave it and just...
Do you know what? This is making me want to print off a shit ton of photos of everybody I love and keep it in my backpack at all times, just in case. Because I have my backpack on me, like,
you
everywhere
have a phone,
I go.
So as long as you've got
somewhere
to
charge. Yeah, but what if it runs out of battery? This is my point.
Just get a new battery.
There's no electricity in the world, Emma. It's an apocalypse.
Okay. I just leave it behind.
Yeah.
I just leave it behind. Unless it was a picture of my cats.
You're going to be carrying a picture of your cats around you, like, your personal, aren't you? Just in case.
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather witness the apocalypse or only know a post-apocalyptic world?
Post-apocalyptic. Because that makes it seem like everything's safe again. And you just kind of survive and that's just how it is. That's how you've grown up. You don't know anything better. Whereas living through an apocalypse, I feel like that's going to do some psychological damage.
I'd rather witness the apocalypse.
Would you?
Just for character building. You know?
Yeah, fuck character building.
I just think it would be exciting,
I've got enough mental health issues as it is. I don't need any more. I don't need post-traumatic stress disorder.
I just think it'd be exciting, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. So what's today's lesson?
Have an emergency plan.
Have a plan.
Yeah.
Learn to like kidney beans and stuff in tins.
Learn to swim. Learn how to swallow tablets. What else can mean?
Learn how to drive, because Eamon can't drive.
Oh, well, no.
You can drive.
I can drive. Just make sure you know how to survive, basically.
Know your strengths and weaknesses. Yes. Have a plan. Be prepared to have your arm chopped off if it gets bitten.
Make sure you have a belt. Yeah. For that.
It's for that alone. It's pronounced tourniquet and corduroy.
Tourniquet.
Oh no, I'm not sure I'm saying it right. Tourniquet. Tourniquet.
Anyway, it's tourniquet.
Tourniquet. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please support us because we love doing this. Follow us on Instagram, which is at Gin and Spooks. We have a WordPress blog as well, which is ginandspooks.wordpress.com. We have Twitter, which is at Gin and Spooks Pod. We have Facebook, which is Gin and Spooks Podcast.
If you have any drink suggestions or creepy stories of your own, please email them over to us at ginandspooks@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.